October the 23rd, and we're trying to keep a record of Dr. Wolf's stages at night. He's been going through a particularly uncomfortable period of late. Actually, it's lasted quite some time, with infrequent breaks of not the degree of suffering or uncomfortableness, but the overall quality of it seems to be of difficulty. And that's been characterized by lack of sleep, but the lack of sleep seems to be a symptom of the state that's happening at night rather than the thing itself. And what we're talking about this morning is the state that he went through last night, which seemed to involve some emotional or mood shifts, of which Dr. Wolf commented that it had a note of depression. Oh. And I'll be quiet and just let you talk.
Well, using neither drugs nor feminine energy, and I can use both.
That's right.
And it was an impossible thing. I don't know whether one could, how long one could endure it before he terminated. There's no one word for characterizing this broken state of consciousness, but that it makes rest impossible. You cannot get that anodyne of sleep forgetfulness. You start to go off to sleep and then wake up again immediately.
And the curious thing, and we were talking about this yesterday, was that that quality that is underlying doesn't seem to be prevalent in the daytime, only with the nighttime sleep.
That's right.
Because when you doze off in the daytime, there's no problem. You go to sleep.
Well,
it's not
when
the restless
I have a bad night, then I have a bad morning, and I get kind of clear in the afternoon.
It's almost as if the organism is making up for the lack of sleep at night by letting you doze a little in the day.
Mm-hmm.
But there's not that difference. There's not that, even though you're sleeping, there's not the psychical phenomena that you experience at night happening. That happens very rarely to you in the day when you sleep. That seems to be particularly strong at night.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true.
And you said last night, if you could elaborate on last night a little bit, because that's, if you're going to have to endure this suffering.
It's blacked out this moment. That's a darn trouble. The capacity to hold in memory a description of a condition, concepts and the like, which I used to do freely, is vanished, you see.
Well, it's particularly true. It does vanish when you're tired. And you're tired because of the lack of sleep.
Yeah. There's something over, I think I bring in what Thurston is saying. The dying process on the psychical side, not the somatic, involves a fractionating of the organization with which you dealt with this world, preparatory to a reorganization, this is Thurston's statement, with which you will deal with the world you deal with beyond death.
In the Bardo.
Yeah. So you're losing the familiar organization with which you worked through more for a lifetime. You build it in that lifetime and then work with it skillfully, perhaps, at the end. You're losing that preliminary to a reorganization. And what will it be, I don't know.
Now, I have a question for you that is, I'd be interested in hearing if you have any speculation on it at this point. Because that's all that we're, this is a learning process. You're a frontiersman, and that's, the point of you suffering through this breakdown at night or this lack of sleep is so that you can leave some kind of a record for the rest of us that may or may not experience that depending on the timely or untimely part of our death. But you made the comment earlier where you said that the one way that you've learned up to this point that you can fight that psychical breakdown that seems to occur at night is, number one, of course, through the use of drugs, which physicians routinely will prescribe, or two, the use of feminine energy in order to combat this psychical dissolution. Now, have you got any kind of perspective or speculation of ideas on why feminine energy would be...
I don't know why. I only know it works.
You only know it works. Okay, well, that's what I wanted to see if it was, if you had any idea as
no,
to why that
not
might...
yet. I haven't a speculative idea on it.
Okay.
But I know it works.
And that's because that's something that's fascinating. Yeah. That's an aspect that's fascinating. And now that you've seemed to have taken an added burden of trying to tough this out yourself, so that you can get some, rather than to stop the state, which was what you were doing through the drugs or the feminine energy, you're sitting in the state, suffering through the state, to hopefully find some kind of understanding of what this state is pointing to or leading to. And so as many, you know, as any kind of idea that I can throw out, that you can throw out anything back,
well,
it's useful.
Yeah, I don't know whether it's leading to anything or whether it's cause termination if it goes on much further.
And that's always the risk. In fact, many of the yogic paths that we were even speaking about today, there's the risk always there.
Of the termination.
Always.
Yeah, that's true.
So, when you're...
Come on.
Excuse me. I'll stop taping. What you had decided at that point in time was to get off of the Valium that the doctor had prescribed for you.
Now there's another thing that isn't Valium. It's that kind you get down here.
The herbal ones, right. And they're not near as strong. They're actually forms of herbs and teas mixed into a pill. But what happened before when you went off the drugs, and it was very similar, you had many days, I can say 3 days, of almost no sleep. And as the period seemed to intensify, by the third day, you were literally just dragging around because you were exhausted. But you would sleep a great deal during the day.
Yeah, fragments.
Fragments of sleep. So even though you can say, and we never know, this is the risk involved with a yogic process, especially in a process where you're a frontier person, that you feel like if you were to stay with this, you would terminate. At least what happened, what seemed to happen after the 3 days, because that's about as long as you could go without sleep. That's what I've noticed was the pattern was 3 days. And by the end of the third day, you would be literally exhausted. And in fact, the period of time when this was happening most intense, and you may recall this just because it was when Bob and Sharon were coming. And you had gone fully 3 days at that point with almost no sleep. And then all of a sudden, your body was so exhausted, you had one night of complete restful sleep. So it's almost like somewhere inside the body there's an inherent wisdom of just how much you can take. Now, we don't know that that'll
but
be
why
the case.
Why am I facing that punishment? What use is it?
That's what enduring that punishment hopefully will reveal. Without just keeping either a crutch so that you don't have to endure the punishment, it really never changed it. You just circumvented it. And now it's still with you. And hopefully by going through this, we'll get some light at the end of this tunnel. That's my hope. But even if we are not able to gather any ultimate understanding, just the information that you're relaying on the psychical states at night is very useful.
Yogi, if I came to you and told you that I was experiencing a lot of inner anguish, for whatever reason, that I was just in this state of anguish, and that I had developed a serious drug dependency in order to stay away from the pain of that anguish.
Mm-hmm.
How would you advise me in that case to give up the drugs and risk the trauma of the anguish, or to continue with the drug dependency?
Drug dependency might be permanent while you live. During the anguish.
So that's the nature of all drug dependencies that I've seen.
Is there any way of easing out? It can't get too severe.
I've never seen any way of easing out. It always just takes another form. All that happens is a lot of people at that point, because I spent 20 years dealing with drug dependencies, a lot of people at that particular point try and switch the dependency to something else, but it's the same thing. But ultimately, they have to face that anguish and go through it, or nothing changes, nothing happens, except that they become increasingly dependent and sink into a lower and lower dynamic and a more desperate kind of dependency.
Now, if you do nothing, but how does it work out?
Then they have to face the anguish, and it either kills them or they come through it.
Mm-hmm. There's a real possibility of death in it.
It's always a possibility.
Mm-hmm. That's my impression too. That this in some way is like breaking off drugs maybe, but there's no drugs involved.
Well, you've already broke that one. That's what you did earlier in the summer, was getting off of that Valium that Dr. Christensen had prescribed. Because he's used to prescribing for elderly patients who don't have your capacities, and they don't understand that there's anything other than the soma that's involved. And so their way of treatment is to just treat on the physical level, period. Not with any, with no care about what it does to the spiritual or the psychical phases of termination or transition.
Yeah.
Whereas you made the decision back then to try to get off the drugs, and then the curious thing about what Jim was mentioning about dependencies, you know who make the best born-again Christians? Are drug addicts. And that's a very common place to recruit new Christian converts. And because all they've done is switch the dependency from the drug to the dependency on a God outside themselves that's going to take care of their problems. And in a lot of ways, you know, it's true. You just keep moving the dependency around until you're willing to face whatever is happening in that psychical phase. And I admire your courage.
There was no relief last night. Not then. And she didn't even give me her usual massage.
There was a conversation that I had once with Dr. Moss, and Dr. Moss's feeling about you is that because of the incredible strength of your being, even of your personality, that were you to face this anguish, it's his feeling that when you move through it, you would move back into the state of high indifference and finish out your life in this state of high indifference and literally transition consciously. Literally die consciously through this and in this state.
Mm-hmm.
That this state is between you, this anguish, this feeling of pain inside you, is the barrier between you and the consciousness that you already possess deep within your being, the place that you've already been.
It's also my feel, too.
That's mine, too.
That is a barrier of sorts that you are very courageously taking on.
I don't know whether you can get so tired that you fall asleep anyhow. But it does in the forenoons, I keep breaking a kind of sleep that I fall into.
Sounds horribly uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And I've sometimes lately had the same thing.
The thing that's so hard, though, is, and this is the thing with yogi, is the vitality of the organism is so much less.
Yeah.
Because he's 96 years old.
Yeah,
so where you can go days and days and days without sleep, and yes, you'll be tired, with him it affects everything. It's
that
the vision.
Like a blessing.
Oh, it's true, because
that
you don't...
That sounds like a blessing instead of a liability, because of the fact that because of the strength and vitality I have because of my youth, all that does is allow me to suffer more.
Yeah. Well, of course, the release could come through death, and we don't know what that...
Yeah.
What that is.
Yeah. Don't know.
Although my sense is very similar to that, and that's what we were talking about yesterday, is that there's a tunnel here somehow that is not, there's been very little written record or recorded record of what is happening in this dark tunnel. All we know is that the tunnel is dark and uncomfortable, but we have very little perspective on the tunnel, and that's more or less what you're leaving from these
tapes. That's the tunnel of death. Irma speaks about it. Only she... Her experience was it was benign.
Well, that may be death. This phase that you're going through may not be the termination, but the transition. And this tunnel, I think, will have a light at the end of it. It's like if you have the strength to stay with this psychical breakup that's happening at night, there's going to be something that's going to move. Because the one word that we've talked about that characterizes this latter period of your life is the word flux.
Yes, the flux. It's
not like prior where you could fix things so well. This period is especially fluctuating. So with some hope that there will be something that this process is moving towards. Well, we know that there's something, we just don't know what it is.
Want to get down to Ivy. What is this?
Well, this is, do you remember those herbal pills?
Yes, I do. I used them.
Right. These are empty. And so the place where we got them, the health food store, is closed up for vacation. But I know where Robert Frickle lives, and we might be able to get him to get us some. And I thought perhaps that might help a little.
Yes, well, so, I did use the last step we had of them last night.
Right. So I was going to take these down and see about... perhaps getting a little help from the herbs.
I see.
So I thought, as long as we were going to be downtown, then I may as well do that.
All right.
The other thing that I thought, just depending on how much vitality you have, I know the other day you asked me if you wanted to check into institutions in the area. Into the institutions of the area.
Oh, well, and not immediately. I want this potential deal with...
With Mr. Ivy. Right. Well, we'll do that first, but that should only take a little bit of time. And well, we have that whole day.
You see, that I'm in a strong cash or cash equivalent position right now. That is, the bank has the money. It inspired it for me.
Mm-hmm. Right. I know that's the interest that they pay you every month on that 30-month thing that you locked into.
It's about $70,000 involved in that. He talks of $90,000. I don't have that much in cash or cash equivalent, but he might be including the value of the land.
Right. Well, we'll find out what kind of deal that he has.
See, I might contribute the value of the land to the thing.
Yeah, just depending on what kind of deal he's willing to make you.
Yes.
So can you tell me any more? Can you share any more about the psychical state that you went through last night? I mean, I know you had a little difficulty sleeping, but what was happening underneath that? Were there any mood shifts or a period of anxiety? How was that?
I don't know that there's any.
What was the quality of last night, besides the fact that you didn't have much sleep? But you did get some. But
no, I'm feeling pretty good shape this morning. The morning before, I didn't.
Right.
So I got more sleep than perhaps I realized.
And you think possibly that period of discomfort has just eased off a little bit last night?
Yes.
That's the sense, is that it just eased off?
Yes. Last night was a better night than the night before.
Okay. All right.
Well, I feel annoyed that I have to go through a mess like this, night after night, for a simple operation of terminating.
So are you suggesting that perhaps the difficulty of sleep and wakefulness during the night is related to the process of termination?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yes, definitely. It's I don't see anything else it could be related to.
Is there anything that you could describe regarding the feelings you might have when you're coming out of sleep at the moment of wakefulness?
Very often, a feeling of weariness because I have to go through that waking when I should be sleeping. That leaves me too somewhat annoyed. It's just like as though there were a force that was torturing you for the fun of it.
You've mentioned before a sense of being punished. Could you elaborate on that a bit?
It had the value of punishment. Why there should be punishment is not at all clear.
When you speak
of why termination should be such a difficult, unpleasant operation. It's hard to understand.
And so you seem to be exploring it. What do you mean by the value? It has the value of punishment.
Well, it's like you're being hurt because you're presumed to be.
Oftentimes when you wake in the middle of the night, calling out with a kind of desperate sounding and exhibiting a brief to be a bit more comfortable.
Yeah.
You've often described your first words have suggested the idea of oppression. You have said, it feels oppressive.
Yes, I do feel oppressions now and then.
Do you resist this oppression? Is that what the waking is about?
No, I don't want to stay in oppression any longer. And I have to.
You've also alluded to it as being a psychical disintegration, a feeling of chaos.
Well, that's another feeling. That's feeling of chaos at times. Break up of an organization that you had. Being shoved into a chaotic mess.
You mentioned something last night regarding insanity, that it felt like going into a kind of chaotic insanity.
Yeah. A reference to that in tapes from the Tibetan Book of one of the Tibetan Books of the Dead, not the Evans Winch one. A reference of going through a state akin to insanity.
In the Bardo state?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are you perhaps entertaining the idea that it's a similar state that you're experiencing?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm entertaining the idea.
Mm-hmm.
I entertain many ideas. That doesn't mean I am attached to them.
Uh-huh. So it's a big question as to what exactly is being experienced and the value of it.
Mm-hmm.
Now the question comes up as to whether you are willing or choose to take medication to sleep. In the past, it seems as if you were developing a dependency on Valium, 5 milligrams, and then a 2.5 milligram dose.
It's been some time since I had that.
That's right. You have not had it for a few months. And we've been exploring alternate methods of support rather than have you depend upon the drug to get some rest. It seems now for over a week you've had great difficulty in sleeping, and your days have been characterized by drowsiness, not being so clear,
yeah,
and also passing in and out of a dozing state.
Yeah, right.
Now you've been trying very hard the last couple of days to keep yourself awake, and that's required enormous, enormous effort and will on your part. Now we've been hoping that if you fatigue to the point of near exhaustion, that you will get a good night's rest, and that might in fact begin a cycle that's more convenient in the sense that you'd sleep at night and be wakeful during the day. Last night we thought we'd experiment by giving you a 2.5 milligram dose of Valium and see if you would sleep through the night. Now it seems as if it didn't work very well. You seem to exhibit the same wakeful state as the nights previous for the last week or so. Could you describe any difference perhaps after you've taken the medication last night?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know any significant differences.
Uh-huh. You seem to be just as wakeful.
Yeah. Wakeful and then unrested at the end of the night.
Uh-huh. And how are you feeling now, Dr. Wolf?
No.
This is the
burned
morning.
Burned out.
Mm-hmm.
Burned out and annoyed.
Uh-huh. It's approximately 7:30 in the morning. We're at breakfast discussing the night's sleep. Is there anything else you want to say regarding last night, Yogi?
I think that covers it.
Okay.
Yes.
So, Yogi, in response to the question of your choice of remaining conscious, ability to remain conscious through the process of termination, if in fact it occurs during the night, and this being affected by your taking a drug such as Valium, how do you feel about that now, at this point?
Well, I feel that there's a limit to the punishment I can take,
uh-huh,
and that I'll seek relief from it if I can.
I see. Now,
you don't seem to realize it's very punishing.
Mm-hmm. So it's a difficult state. It seems to involve a lot of suffering on your part.
Yes. Yes, it gets so that you dread every time you go to bed. And going to bed is a bit of hell.
Uh-huh. We've discussed before how most people, when they approach old age and the dying process, don't go through this this state of awareness regarding it.
No, what the literature says, they go into a swoon.
Uh-huh.
Mm.
And it's your will that you do not fall into the swoon state.
Yes. And I want to fall into swoon, I want to go into it. But there's also a limit to the amount of punishment one can take.
Mm-hmm. Is your waking, does that have anything to do with resistance of the swoon state, perhaps?
Waking?
Uh-huh. When you wake, which seems to be quite often, it seems that you don't get periods of rest more than, at most, an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And intermittently, you go in and out of sleep, characterized by labored breathing at times. And when that occurs, you come out of your sleep, and it takes you a couple of minutes to recover. In the sense of your breathing slowing down and not being as nervous as when you first come out.
Yes, that would be something that the observer would know, rather than the subject himself.
Uh-huh. So if I could describe your coming out of sleep, I would say that it exhibits symptoms of anxiety,
mm-hmm.
Which is apparent in your breathing. And also, there's a sense of fear.
The word stress expresses what I experience.
Uh-huh.
The feeling of stress.
Uh-huh. Is this experienced by psyche and soma?
Well, no, soma, I don't think that has involved at all.
Uh-huh.
That's the animal physical organism.
I see.
It's a death of the psychic organ.
Uh-huh. So you're suggesting that these physical symptoms and the body's reaction has to do with what you're experiencing during sleep in the psychical sense?
Surely.
Uh-huh.
Surely.
So again, it seems that we need to explore ways of supporting this process and at the same time having you be as conscious as possible.
The oscillation between low breathing, inadequate breathing, and then heavy breathing.
That's exactly right. As I observe it, it's irregular breathing pattern. At times, you fall into a sleep and your breathing almost ceases in the sense that it becomes very slow and very shallow, and it progresses into a deeper and faster breathing just before the point where you come out of sleep, and you're dozing off right now.
Mm-hmm. There is a tendency to do that.
Yes.
Because there's lack of sleep.
So it appears that as the pattern progresses, when you don't get a night's sleep, you just seem to get into the pattern of waking and sleeping in the 24-hour cycle.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to consider this when thinking of the quality of clarity. And you're dozing off to sleep again, so I'll stop taping. How do you feel the deprivation of sleep affects your psyche?
Maybe it's irritated. Annoyed. Punished.
Mm. So as a recorder of your experience, each night that you do attempt to go into sleep, you're gathering more data. And being able to express it, it's quite an important and significant undertaking.
Yeah, I think so. We don't know much about it.